All right, well, I want to jump into our sermon. I said everything I need to say on that. I wanted to jump into our sermon today, but before I did, it's just a good reminder for me to remember that so many of you are joining us for the first time. And so if that happens to be you today, my name's Aaron, I'm the lead pastor here. And we're in a 32-week series right now where we're looking through the major themes and storylines of the Bible, the 32 top themes and storylines of the Bible that we believe will help you to understand not only God's word, but God's heart. Right, that's our hope, is that you get to know the heart of your Heavenly Father, that there's an upper story that God is telling, and then we have our lower stories, which is what you just saw with Ben. All of us have our lower story, but those two things connect. And so, yes, we all have our own individual story, but we want to make sure it stays connected to God's bigger upper story. And so where we're at in that story right now is we've been looking through the book of Kings, looking at specific kings that were over the nation of Israel. And so we looked at King Saul, we've looked at King David, and today we're going to look at King Solomon. Now, even if you're new to the Bible, even if you're new to church, if you're new to Christianity, you've likely heard the name Solomon and can likely even fill in this blank, that Solomon was the what? Wisest. Solomon was the wisest person who ever lived. In 1 Kings chapter 4, we read this: God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight in a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. Now, even though it's common knowledge that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, I don't think it's as common knowledge to know why. Have you ever asked that question? Like, why did God grant so much wisdom, truly making him the wisest man who ever lived? Why did God grant so much wisdom to Solomon? Believe it or not, the answer to that question, I believe, has the potential to teach us a lot about our prayer life. And so let's jump into Solomon's story where all of this will unfold, and then I'll tell you where we're going with it. In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, we read this: Solomon loved the Lord, and he followed all the decrees of his father David. Except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "Solomon, what do you want? What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Now, I want you to pay attention to what Solomon is now going to do, because instead of just giving God a quick reply, he takes the time to process through what would make the most sense. If God is truly asking me and going to give me what I want, like, what should that be? And now we're going to see Solomon process through that. Solomon replied, "You showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David. But I'm a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation, the nation of Israel, so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me, therefore," Solomon's kind of landing here, "give me an understanding heart, give me wisdom, so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord hears all of this. Here's Solomon process through the request that he just made. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Solomon, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one has ever had or ever will have." Now, if I were to just break all of that down and what we just transpired, and what we read together, here's how I'd break it down. It says that Solomon loved the Lord. He was obedient to God. And it was because of that that God asks, "What do you want, Solomon?" Solomon then discerns what would be both helpful to him, but also honorable to God, And so he asks for the wisdom to lead God's people. And God grants his request, both because of what he did ask for, but also, notice, also what he didn't ask for, which is why God grants this request. Now, here's what I wanna do. I wanna take those things and I wanna build for us a framework for our prayer life. But let me be really clear about this. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not suggesting that this framework will automatically lead to answered prayers. Like, we have to always trust in the sovereignty of God. You've heard me say this often. We pray for what we know God can do, but we learn to be content with what he will do. And so this is not a formula for a perfect, you know, record of God answering your prayers. But if I were to put it in a framework, here's how I would put it. That love and obedience to God gives God the reason to ask us what we might want. And if that response, if our request is both helpful to us and honorable to God, I believe that it leads God to be more likely to answer that request. I want to take just a few moments and unfold for you how this has played out in my own personal life. Back in 2021, we were on the tail end of COVID, and it was the summer of 2021, and I knew I needed a break. I don't know how COVID happened for you, but leading a church through COVID was one of the more difficult things that has happened in my life. Like, even if you bring up the word COVID today, that we might see a little tick, okay? Just, it was tough. It was difficult, you know, dealing with just all the, I would tell you I had decision fatigue because we were constantly maneuvering and changing and thinking and what now? And then I had to hear, you know, everybody's opinion. And I appreciate your opinion, by the way. And so I needed a break. I knew I did. And in 18 years of ministry, I've never asked for a sabbatical and probably should be a more consistent rhythm in my life, but I needed one. And so I took about 10 weeks off, and on my sabbatical, I was just leaning into the Lord. I'm like, God, I need you to restore my soul a little bit. I need you to help me to see what I've not been able to clearly see. And so just kind of open my eyes again. And God, just press into me. I'm going to press into you, God. I'm asking that you press into me. I just needed to hear from the Lord. And early on in that sabbatical, I felt like God came to me and he asked me this question. Aaron, what do you want? Now, let me be clear about something. First, I would tell you, I've never heard God's voice audibly. I often hear from God through other people. I hear from God through his word. I hear from God because the Holy Spirit is inside of me and will surface thoughts in my mind that, you know, as long as it's in alignment with God's word and I know it's something that God wants, and it's like, okay, God, I think that's you. But I had never heard from God on something like this. And so I kind of dismissed it at first. I'm like, it must be heartburn or something like that. It's like, I don't think this is the Holy Spirit's heartburn. And so I dismissed it truly because it's honestly, I'm thinking to myself, God, I've never come to you like, God, I want this. It's always been, God, what do you want? Like, what do you want for me as a pastor and a husband and a father and a friend? Like, what do you want? And so this was just foreign to me. And so I dismissed it, but I kept feeling like God was coming back to me with the same question. Aaron, what do you want? What do you want? And so finally, just trying to listen, I'm like, okay, God, if this is you, then I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I want. And I'm going to share it with you today, and you're going to think this is silly, okay? But I said, God, I want to lead a church of 750 people. A modest request. God, I want to lead a church of 750 people. It wasn't 1,000. It wasn't 3,000. It wasn't 7,000. I want to lead a church of 750 people. Now, let me give you some context. We were about 4 or 5 years old when COVID hit, still a very young church. We had worked really hard to get to where we were. We were running between 500 and 600 people, and that's saying something in the church planting world. And so we were excited about what God was doing in the life of this church. But like almost every church through COVID, we lost so many people because people didn't like big crowds and all kinds of other different reasons. And so we dropped from 500 to 600 to around 300 people. And that was a little bit of a gut punch. And honestly, God taught me a lot about humility through that season. But I came back to God and it's like, God, I feel like we're doing good ministry. I feel like we put a good team together. I feel like our church is honoring you. God, I feel like we're helping people find and follow Jesus. There's about 700,000 people in this city. Can you help us just reach 750 of them? And in a way that I don't know how to describe, but it was very clear to me in that moment, I felt like God said, okay, but first. And the but first was, Aaron, before I grant that request, you've got these two things in your life that you need to get rid of. And he didn't need to convince me of what those things were because I was already convicted about those two things. And they weren't sinful things. Quit judging me. Like, your mind's already going places. Like, quit judging me. They weren't sinful things, but they were very much distractions. They were things that could have led to sin. And so God's like, I want you to remove these. And I already knew, again, I'd already been convicted. So many of us already know, don't we? It doesn't need to take God like showing up in a burning bush moment. We know. And he's like, I need you to get rid of these things. I'm like, okay. So I came back from my sabbatical, and many of you that have been around long enough would know, like, there was a noticeable difference in me. When I came back and started preaching different, over my sabbatical, God showed me a couple things where it's like, I want you to lead the church in a little bit different of a direction. So I came back, kind of got our staff on board with that. And it's like, hey, we're going to start doing some things differently and started some new initiatives. And I came back and I was just full of focus and passion and vigor, fervency. And some of you were around then. I came back and I preached a sermon series that became our most popular sermon series. It was a sermon series God laid on my heart over my sabbatical called Lines. And the subtitle was Undefined Lines Are the Easiest to Cross. A lot of people came to our church by watching these sermons online. It's like, man, I want to be a part of a church that's willing to tackle those kind of subjects. And so a lot of people started coming. And I went back and I looked at this specifically because, I believe God wasn't just going to grant my request. I believe God wanted to give me some time. Like if I was truly going to set those two things out of my life and come back and listen to him and start leading our church in a certain way, it's like, Aaron, I'm not just going to answer this request. It's going to take a little bit of time. And so that was September of 2021. We were 5 years old at that time as a church. And I went back and looked, made sure I got the exact date. On September 18th of 2022, almost a year later, our attendance was exactly 750 people. And so that, again, I don't know what that does for you, but for me, it was huge that I heard from God. God pointed some things out to me. I listened and obeyed, and God answered my request. And I go back to this framework often now. Love and obedience to God. I needed to tighten up the obedience piece. Honestly, I would believe that's where the majority of us are at today. Need to tighten up some of that obedience. Love and obedience to God gives God a reason to ask us what we want. And when our response or request is both helpful to us and it honors God, I believe God is more likely to answer that request. And I would tell you, even since that moment where I experienced this with God, I now have talked about this a lot more with my staff and our team and different leaders, where I believe God actually wants to answer that request more than we think. Like as long as these things are in order, God actually wants to come to us. I never would have taught this until I experienced this. I believe God wants to come to us more often than we think and ask us the question, what do you want? Because if he gives us if we give him the reason, if we are showing God love and adoration in all areas in the way that we're living our life, if we're living out in obedience, and when God points some things out to us, we don't just deny him in that, we actually start paying attention to it. And it might not be an overnight fix. It might be something we gotta pick at for some amount of time. We might need some accountability in our life. We might need a counselor to help us process through some of those things. But I believe God wants to come to us if we give him the reason to ask us the question, what do you want? How would you answer that today? And don't just take it from me that I believe God would want to approach us in this nature. Take it from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. If your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, it's like, thanks Jesus, we know, but If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, before we even consider tiptoeing into any prosperity gospel, because that's not where I'm at all, we have to play some really quick common sense theology, which is God's not gonna answer every request we have, right? We know that. I mean, think about some of the things. I don't know about you, I can say this. Like, I'm glad that God didn't answer all my requests. And I believe this to the bottom of my toes. If God gave us the answer that we wanted, if he said yes to all the things we would have asked for, I 100% believe that would have led us further away from God. In some situations, it would have led us to places and spaces and maybe around people that once we got there, we would say, I don't want to be here. Like if God actually answered what we wanted him to answer. And so quick common sense theology would say, yes, God's not gonna answer, nor should he in his sovereignty answer every single request we have. But when these things are in order, I do believe, I hold to the conviction now that God more often than we think wants to approach us with the question, what do you want? Unfortunately, so often in our lives, we take the exact opposite approach than what we see here. What we do is we say, God, if you give me what I want, then I'll be obedient. For me in my younger life, it was more this tone. God, if you get me out of this, anybody else? Yeah. If you get me out of this, then I'll do what you want. But God doesn't operate that way. Maybe some of us would even say, we've got what we've wanted from this world. There were some things that we went for. To be clear, it's not what God wanted for your life, but we got what we wanted, and we went after those things. And once we achieved those things, we determined, man, this has only moved me further and further away from where God wants me. Have any of you ever thought about how Satan might want to help you accomplish or achieve some things in life? Because by acquiring those things, it's gonna lead you further away from where God wants you. This is exactly what happens in the life of Solomon. Solomon received what he had asked from God, but with time, he began to deny what God wanted. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we read this. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. He was a womanizer. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, there were Moabites and Ammonites and Edomites and Sidonians and Hittites and Perizzites and Termites. And they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He did what he wanted. He had 700 wives. I thought he was wise. 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. This is like sister wives on steroids, for those of you who know that context. In 1 Kings 11, jump down to verse 11. So the Lord said to Solomon, okay, Solomon, because you have denied me, since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenants and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Trace, one of the most honest things that I can say to you today is also one of the hardest things that I can say to you today. That God does not bless disobedience. It wouldn't make sense for him to. Why would God ever bless disobedience that's leading you further away from where he wants you to be? So the clearest, most honest, but also one of the hardest things that I can look at each of you today, and what I've actually looked at a lot of people on the other side of a coffee table and said at some point, you know, when I'm trying to help them to see a sin that they may be stuck in and move them in a different direction, God will not bless your disobedience. And so that brings me back to our question. If God were to ask you this today, hey, what do you want? What do you want? Is there something glaringly obvious in your life? Maybe one thing, two things, three things. Is there something glaringly obvious in your life right now that God would immediately say, but first, I need you to get these things out of your life. These things are actually the obstacles for me, keeping me from answering that request for you, because I will not bless disobedience. Now, to be clear on that, just to make sure you don't walk away here with the wrong understanding and sentiment, this doesn't mean that if there's an area of disobedience in your life, it doesn't mean that God will withhold all of his blessing from you, but he will not bless that particular area or areas of your life. It wouldn't make any sense. He would be going against himself. And so let me just take this moment, if I can, and have a pastoral moment with you. I want the fullness of God's blessing in your life. I do. I want you to experience it. I don't think I'd be a good pastor if I didn't want that for you, which leads me to tell you, God will never bless the areas of your life where you're being disobedient, where you're denying what he wants for you. And again, he doesn't even need to point those things out to you this morning. You know what they are. I knew what they were. These areas. And so I want you, you've heard me say it with this language before, to wage the war against the things in your life, to wage war against the things in your life that are keeping you from the life that God calls, Jesus specifically calls, is a life in abundance, receiving the fullness of his blessing. And so what would it look like for you today to start taking seriously the thing or the things in your life that you can clearly point to where you're denying what God wants and potentially, not potentially, and keeping his full, the fullness of his blessing from coming in your direction, even his favor from coming in your direction. So here's what I want to do. I want to make all of this incredibly tangible. I don't want this just to be another, you know, decent sermon that you walk out the doors thinking, you know, Aaron made some good points. Let's do something with it. And let's also today act like we're a church family who want to help one another. Like I believe, you know, as we grow, this is going to become harder. And I'm going to work hard to kind of keep us as thinking small in certain areas and contexts, where as we get bigger, these things will become more and more of a challenge. But we're a church family. We have decided that Trace Church is going to be our family, which means we need to champion one another and encourage one another and pray for one another and carry each other's burdens. And so to make this tangible for us today, here's what I want you to do. You received that index card when you walked in. By the way, raise your hand really quick if you didn't get an index card. Our usher will bring you one. Okay, look for hands. If there are hands in the air, keep them up. Here's what I want you to do. If God were to come to you today and ask you the question, what do you want? How would you answer that? And I want you to say it as succinctly as you can, maybe just a word or two or no more than a sentence of what you and how you would answer that. And then I want you to answer the next question, which will be more difficult, I would imagine. What needs to change? What is it that's potentially existing in your life right now that would, you know, you would say, this is an area I'm denying God? That if you were to start to pick at and start pushing out of your life, that it would give God the reason that he needs to answer your request. What is that? What is that? So what do you want, and then what needs to change? And then I want you to put your phone number on it. And here's what we're gonna do. After you write this out, you don't have to do it this moment, you're gonna have plenty of time. After you write this out, during our response time today, you're gonna come and you're gonna drop that in one of these black buckets. And you don't need to put your name on it. If you wanted to, you could, but you don't need to put your name on it. You're gonna put your phone number on it. And then when you leave today, after you drop them off in the boxes during response time, when you leave today, you're gonna grab someone else's card. And for the next 7 days, church, I want you to commit, and I need you to commit. I need you to commit to sending that person a text message for the next 7 days between now and next Sunday and let them know that you're standing in the gap for them. And you let them know, hey, I prayed, you know, whatever it is. I just prayed that God would give you the peace that you're seeking. I just prayed that God would help you to fight the addiction in your life, the temptations that keep tripping you up, whatever it may be, whatever the answers are. And when you walk out today, again, only for those of you that fill out a card, I hope and pray that all of you would. But if you fill out a card, then I want you to take a card. Look at it really quick and just make sure it's not your own. And it might happen where you actually take somebody's card and you have their number in your phone. You're like, oh, I know what that is. Like, okay, here we go. But I would say, take this seriously. And I promise you, this is going to bless you more than you think it is. And so fill out the card. Do your best to be as honest as you can, transparent as you can. Take a card today, and then for the next 7 days, I just want you to text. And I would encourage you to put like an alarm on your phone that reminds you so you don't forget, because what I fear when we do a little exercise like this is that somebody will take a card and then forget, and then that person feels forgotten. I don't want that to happen. Can we commit to taking this seriously and sending that text message every single day? Hey, I prayed for you today. Maybe it's 12 o'clock every day during your lunch hour, whatever that needs to look like for it to make the most sense. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray for us, and we're gonna enter into a response time, and I'll talk a little bit more how this is gonna unfold. Father, so much we can learn from the life of Solomon. On one hand, in the beginning of his kingship, God, he's living in faith and obedience. His love and adoration of you was clear, which gave you every reason to ask him the question, what does he want? And you granted that request. On the other end of his kingship, we see denial and disobedience, where he knew there were some things you had made crystal clear that you didn't want him to do, yet he did them anyway, causing you to remove some of the blessing, not all of it, but some of the blessing from his life, including being king. God, for each of us, every single one of us. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have something in their life right now where they are denying you. It could be sinful. Maybe it's just a distraction. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, minds, and souls and reveal those very things. Then for those of us that maybe need a little bit of extra courage to write them down, I pray that we would sense you prompting us to take this seriously and writing those things down. And then throughout this week, God, you would continue to remind us and prompt us to send those encouraging text messages, that we have other people in our church family standing in the gap for us, believing in the power of prayer. And Father, I pray that on the other side of this exercise, that there is victory, that there is victory, and that so many of the people that represent Trace Church will have given you every reason that you need to ask them the question, hey, what do you want? And as we've taken the time to process through it, just like Solomon did, hey, this will be both helpful to me and honorable to you, God, that you would have no other reason to not grant that request. But God, in this process, that we're also trusting your sovereignty, that you know when you still need to say no to things, even if everything lines up the way we think it should. Let us always trust in that. We love you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.